All right. Welcome in to Toilets, Two Titles, episode number 49. We're one away from the Big 50. We got the Big 50 coming, and we got a few big weeks coming up. NFL draft month. Today, we're doing our Rookie Rumble recap. With me today, I got my guys, new members of the Toilets, Titles crew. If you're watching live, to my left, I think it is, we got Matt. Our Australian dude with the crystal clear camera, Matt at MATCHHOO on the Twitter. Matt, what's cooking?
Hey, Catch.
What's happening? How are you doing today?
Good, man. Good. I got a crystal clear camera, but I can't fix my head. It's not looking too good. So maybe I should put it up a bit.
It's extra shiny. It's extra shiny. Yeah. It's looking good. You're looking great. It's 11 o'clock out there in Australia. It's 8 a.m. out here in New York. You look like you've accomplished a lot today.
Yeah, I look like it, but that would be looks can be deceiving. lazy man. I play some board games with the kids, watched a bit of TV, walk the dog. That was about it. Real lazy.
What board games?
Throw burrito.
Throw burrito.
Awesome game. Yeah, you got to try it.
Rich is nodding his head. All right, so with us as well, below is another new member of the Toilets Titles crew, the Frito Bendito himself, at R. Gonzalez, R.M. Rich, you familiar with Throw Burrito?
Yeah, actually I am, man. My family, we did a game night a couple months back, and you got to be pretty shifty and stuff like that to avoid that burrito.
Yeah, okay. Or maybe we'll have to go live one day, just – virtually playing throw burrito. What I've been doing, we went down a Godzilla King Kong rabbit hole these past few days. We've been a little sick. We've been hanging out. So we watched Kong versus Godzilla the other night. Last two nights we watched Godzilla King of Monsters. And we're pretty intensely into that right now. So it's been going well. Today we're gonna watch Skull Island. So that's what we've been doing. I've also been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's how I've been passing my time since I've been sick. But I want to get through the rest of the intro so I can bring in our guests today. I'm kind of rambling on, but you guys know you could find me on the Twitter at Coach Sheps, at Coach SCHEPPS. Justin, who's not with us today, at Justin FF _. Nate, who's not with us today, at Nate _Dirt19. And then Ben is at Live From The Ben, and the show is at Toilets to Titles. How you can listen to our show, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, on Facebook. We have a Toilets to Titles group. Eventually, we're going to probably start doing some special content just strictly for the Toilets to Titles Facebook group. We might do a Patreon, all that. We might have another pod coming from the Australian neck of the woods with Matt and Ben. They might be putting something together for you guys who might be over in that neck of the woods. Also, you can check us out on Spotify. If you're listening on YouTube or however you're listening, if you don't mind going and checking out our YouTube streams, hit the like buttons from our episodes, hit the subscribe button, you know, whatever. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you don't mind throwing us a review, iTunes, throw us a review, that'd be great. We're going to be setting up the next second and third Frankenstank League. We started the first one last year. We're going to add two more this year. You know, it's going to be half listeners, half friends of the show. And we're going to be working on those. Easiest way to get in, I think it was like $35 entry fee last year. We gave away a bunch of free entries. The easiest way to get a free entry, throw us a pretty sweet review. Say some cool stuff, maybe about me, maybe about Matt, maybe about Rich down here. You know, say some cool stuff. Maybe say like we're a lot cooler than the other guys. We can push you guys towards the front, you know, if you want to do that. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to PrimetimeSportsTalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. So like I said earlier today, We're going to be recapping a rookie rumble that we did with the guys from the Undroppables, just so you know, before we bring them in. We did it on Sleeper. It was rookies only. We're going to be keeping track of this thing. It was super flex, I believe 5 rounds. We're going to be checking this thing out throughout the season. Probably going to be a 2 or 3 year thing because it's going to take some time for some of these rookies to develop. But we had a lot of fun doing this thing. Joshua from Fusion FFB, he was the brains behind this. We were hoping to have him on this episode, but I'm sure we'll get him on soon. Go check out fusionffb.com. Joshua is at generally_aware. So without further ado, let's bring in the characters from the Undroppables for the first time on the show. Let's bring in Andrew Mackens at Andrew Mackens on the Twitter. Andrew, what's cooking?
I'm doing great. What's up, man? We have definitely a cast of characters at the Undroppables. There's 20 plus of us, and it's hard keeping them all straight, to be honest, but I appreciate you having me on today.
Is that your job?
Full-time, no. My job is keeping it straight, keeping all the content straight on the website as the editor-in-chief, and trying to, you know, make sure I'm understanding where everyone is if I haven't heard from them in a while.
More. All right. I like this. So Andrew, in his Twitter profile, he's dubbed himself Fantasy Football Guy, EIC and writer at the Undroppables and co-founder of FFB Mental Health. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So that's something that a couple friends and I put together from a podcast I had done separate from the Undroppables, basically just a GoFundMe that we started to give back to the fantasy community or give back through our passion for fantasy sports. And I think mental health has a lot of factors or a lot of ties into fantasy football, whether you're, you know, sweating your weekly lineups or, you know, just the toll that it could take on you throughout the season. So, and we know that there are a lot of people out there that are always struggling with their mental health. So I thought it was an important issue to bring to light and kind of normalize like this idea of like, you know, taking care of your mental health. Cause it's in the past, at least not spoken enough about. So we wanted to just put together GoFundMe and donate some money back to an organization for anyone that wanted to support the pod.
Hey man, send that to me if you don't mind. At the end of the episode, I'll put that in the show notes, the GoFundMe. It'll be on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, probably in the YouTube notes, and I'll share from the Toilets of Titles handle. I think that's great, man. I definitely do think that's great. You know, helping people, like, it's kind of the foundation of what we're trying to do as a community, right? When it just starts with fantasy football, you're either tooting your own horn. It's 50-50, right? Some people want to toot their horn. Some people actually want to help others. And branching out from helping others with fantasy football to helping others, you know, to focus on their mental health and their mental well-being. I think that's a great cause. All right. So let's bring in the other member of the Undroppables. We got Michael Duncan. Let me bring him in here at
Duncan75
on the Twitter. What's happening, my guy?
Nothing much. I'm actually just reading about this throw a burrito game. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm kind of wishing I had it, to be honest.
Give us your immediate analysis and throw a burrito.
You know, the burritos have really funny eyes. Okay. And I almost feel like I would feel bad throwing them at people. But I think at the end of the day, any game that is based around throwing small burritos at people is a 10 out of 10 for me. So I'm all in. I might place an order right now.
Man, I mean, I might feel bad throwing it until I start losing. Then when I start losing, I don't feel bad no more. Now it's cutthroat. I want to win. You know, because winning's first. Okay,
that's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, when I play Clue, I play Clue with my kids. Trouble. We got into Trouble lately. I know Trouble is a classic. It's very simple. Oh, yeah. It's not a burrito with eyeballs on it. But we've been playing a lot of Trouble this week. And my son, man, we're going around the board. And, you know, you can move, you know, once you get multiple, you got 4 pieces. Once you get them out, you can move whichever you want. And he's like avoiding me because we got the secret thing going on. I didn't engage the secret thing. He's engaging in the secret thing. And I make it to a point where I can only move one of my characters. And I roll a 4. He's 4 spots away. And I hit him. And I took him out. And he was devastated. Like, he was not expecting
me. Oh, no.
Yeah, man. It was almost like, you know, when the Joker, the switch flips where like he goes from being just a regular guy to broken. My son had a Joker moment. And
if
I was
we're comparing
like,
any of us to the Joker, he lost I feel like game I need of trouble. To leave. I'm a little worried if we're getting compared to the
no,
Joker.
No, I like. Here. I love that.
I saw a little snap. I saw a little snap, but I was like, man, this, I got to win. You know what I mean? I can't. You know, no secret things anymore. Where it's you play to win the game. You know.
Yeah, you can't baby them, man. They can't win every board game.
That's it. That's it. But he was definitely a little devastated. But I think it's going to impact him going forward. But anyway. Enough talking about board games, yo-yo burrito, throw burrito. Guys, we're here to talk about another game, fantasy football game, and one that Joshua from Fusion FFB, he created himself this year. He came to us. He's a guy. It's kind of a friend of the show. Wanted to see if we could compete with people from other fantasy football networks and compete, you know, not in regular, you know, fantasy football lineups, but more so just rookies. You know, who knows more or who's kind of got a better grip on the rookie landscape. And we did this thing called a Rookie Rumble where we did a 5-round mock draft. It's mock draft. I don't know if we call it a mock draft if we're actually going to play it out, right? So super flex, PPR, and you guys jumped up. You're like, we're in, right? So we started a group chat. We started it up on Sleeper. I'm going to pull up the mock shortly. Not the mock. I got to stop saying it. I'm going to pull up the draft shortly. And we all picked our draft spots. And I think you guys picked like – it was like odds or evens, right? And I think you guys picked odds or whatever. And then
yeah, we're an odd bunch, so we had to take the odd numbers.
I like it. I dig it. So then we took evens, and we each picked our slot. And it wasn't snake. It was – the same way every time, and we drafted, and we're gonna short. Let me pull this puppy up. Let me bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. I want you guys to confirm when I pull this up. Just let me know that it is up here. Let me see.
Yeah,
here.
Of course. And while you're doing that, I'm curious.
There it is.
Yeah, I can good. See it. And maybe if you can zoom in, I think that'd be helpful too. I could just. Make my screen bigger too. Did you guys like Matt and Frito, did you draft this team of, you know, your five players with the intention of like a first of 3-year outlook for the, you know, the sleeper league that we're all in together now where these results have been logged in?
Matt, go ahead.
For me, to be honest, I just sort of drafted the five best guys. My rookie understanding is a little bit weak this early on, and without landing spots, a bit hard to know. So I just went with my, you know, the best talent that I could get.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and unfortunately for me, I wasn't available at this time to be in there. So I'm just jumping on just to give my input with some of these picks.
Oh, fair enough. Well, we'll get your impartial opinion then.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. So he's going to be fair. I my draft strategy was early on, it was best player available. And then later on, you know, with some of the final two picks, it was more developmental guys. You know what I mean? I think that was kind of how I looked at it. How about you guys?
Yeah, the reason I ask is because I was thinking about like, well, should I be drafting this as if I was drafting for a dynasty team, or should I be drafting to win the league once Josh put that together in Sleeper? And I really went for making the mock look like what I might actually do in a mock at the time of the draft. So, I mean, having a QB helps for a super flex typically. I don't know if Felipe Franks is going to be starting in the next 3 years. So he might be a big fat zero for my fantasy league purposes.
All right. Why don't we get into this? You know what I mean? So why don't we recap, since you started with Felipe Franks? Well, here's what we're going to do. But again, just to kind of touch on what you were saying, it was a little cloudy. Like, yes, we're going to have year one results. Yes, we'll have year two results, but I think it's like a 3-year window thing about these guys progressing, and that's kind of where it'll stop. So I think it is important to have a team that can compete now, because that's bragging rights right now. But also, as analysts, I think the cloudiness is going to shake away as the year goes on, as we go into year two, and we're going to realize who's legit, who's a legit player, and who's not. And I think that's more so, rather than just the scoring, it's more so who laid a solid foundation for a roster, because you're never going to have a roster with just rookies, right? But we do in this instance. And if we drafted these rookies in a regular dynasty league, who laid a foundation to help their team, you know, grow, right, as we get further and further into our dynasty season. So, Andrew, you picked from the five spot, okay? And why don't you recap your roster, what you thought, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. So start with your first pick and go from there.
Yeah, of course. So looking at the, you know, the start of the draft, and this is super flex, so all of the main quarterbacks are going to be bumped up to the top. Felt like there's a bit of a drop off there, and I felt like, you know, weighing a quarterback versus the best at the skill position, I wanted to kind of zig when everyone else was zagging. Went with Najee Harris because he was still on the board after four straight quarterbacks. So I didn't want to pass that up. And I went in with that pick thinking, well, this is going to be my running back, and I'm probably going to stack any of the other positions the rest of the way. I think this class, from everything I've heard, it's pretty much Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and Javonte Williams at the top, and then everything else might be a bit of a crapshoot. So after that, went hard at the wide receiver position, and I think – at least when I remember as we were doing it, y'all made it fairly easy for me where each guy I picked felt like he was the last of a particular tier of wide rookie prospects. So Terrace Marshall being maybe one of the last guy in that top tier of seven or eight receivers. Tamorian Terry, a really interesting prospect that people might still be sleeping on. And then Sage Surratt, again, this was before pro days, so now I'm hearing some negative press on Surratt. But
go in on this negative press on Surratt.
Apparently he ran like a 4.6 plus like 40-yard dash. And
that's a 4.8. That's a 4.8 this year. Just to clarify, with all these pro days, they're all 4.3 has become the new 4.5.
Yeah.
If you average out, everybody and their mother's running a 4.3. So if you're getting a 4.6 at your pro day, that's like a 4.75.
Yeah, and I don't even know if what I read as a 4.6 was someone already adjusting for that human error, or if it was like, okay, that's what they actually timed him at. But either way, like if you're not in the 4.3, 4.4 range at your pro day, that's a little concerning. And he is a bigger receiver. I found one random tweet that said he had met with the Chargers, so that's interesting. But, you know, speed is really important in the NFL. If you're going to be big, you got to have at least a modicum of speed as well.
I'm definitely I'm nervous about big receivers lately because, you know, I loved Calvin Harmon when he came out. I was really big in Calvin Harmon, even like Hakeem Butler. I like big physical wide receivers, but after those, I thought Kelvin Harmon was like, I thought he was a top three wide receiver in his class, and the NFL hated him. I think what like went like the fourth, fifth, like
yeah,
you know, and he's barely hanging on with the Washington football team. So that makes me a little nervous because I 2 years ago, Surratt was a monster. Was a monster, phenomenal, and all of a sudden, you know, he's dropping off. So I'm definitely a little weary. But in the fourth round, you know,
yeah, he's got some name value in the fourth round for sure. And then I hadn't grabbed a quarterback, so that's why I grabbed Felipe Franks just on the off chance he gets some shine at some point in his career.
I dig it. So you're looking at your roster, what was your favorite value pick that you were able to get on this team?
At the time, I thought it was Surratt again because of the name value, but I was looking back at it today, and I think that Tamorian Terry is probably the guy that was the best value just because we had a handful of other wide receivers go off the board, and I think Terry could end up there right behind Terrace Marshall in terms of, you know, short-term production. In terms of the draft overall, I want to give some props to our fellow undroppable AWL Sabermetrics, Dan out there. I am really liking Elijah Moore now. After
recap his roster, man. Go ahead. You're Elijah. let's hear about his draft.
Well, so he doubles down on quarterbacks because he knows this is a super flex league and he can start both Trey Lance and Mac Jones. So I love that. And then he gets Elijah Moore in the third round, which I thought was super sharp, especially with what Elijah Moore's pro days have looked like. He looks like he's super fast coming out of Ole Miss. So he's, you know, riding off the coattails of DK Metcalf and AJ Brown. I think he's going to start rising in the ranks as well, along with someone like a Tamorian Terry. So Marquez Stevenson, never heard of the guy in the fifth round, unfortunately, Cornell Powell, but
Clemson.
Stevenson, I know has been a prospect that's been talked about a lot too. So love his squad, especially because he doubled down on QB there.
Yeah, his first pick, Trey Lance, is my QB too. And I think all the guys who listen to the show, all the guys in the Toilets Titles crew know that. And it was almost like he plucked Trey Lance from me before Zach Wilson, and then also Elijah Moore. I got Elijah Moore. I got Amari Rodgers right after Moore, but I like Moore a lot. So he picked right before me. He sniped me twice. So he definitely had a solid draft. Michael, why don't you pick from the seventh slot? So why don't you recap your roster?
All right. So first off, I was not expecting you to get Ja'Marr Chase at the 1-7. I was pretty thrilled because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Travis Etienne is going to be there. I'm a big Etienne fan. I have him and Najee Harris really neck and neck for that RB1 spot this season. And a lot of that, I think a tiebreaker might end up being, you know, draft capital and landing spot and that kind of stuff. But I love both of them. But when Javonte Williams went and Ja'Marr Chase was there, I wanted to take Etienne, but I couldn't really pass up Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, I think he's the wide receiver one pretty easily. I think he's a generational talent. I mean, I just think he's awesome. I spent yesterday actually watching film on him, and it's just, you know, he's 6 foot, like 201, but he plays more like he's 6'4", 220. And, you know, it's crazy. He's just an amazing talent. In the second round, I got Chuba Hubbard, who, again, I really wasn't expecting to get. I'm a lot higher on him than I think most people. I have him, I think, is my RB3 or 4. Sort of probably in a tier after Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. But, like, I'm a big fan of him. I think that, you know, he dealt with a lot of stuff this season, whether it be, you know, the COVID, obviously COVID being a factor, but also just everything that was going on behind the scenes at his college and dealing with his coach and all that. And I can't say I know too much about it, but I think that he's a talented player. And, you know, if he had come out last year, he would have been, you know, he probably would have been going around the 1-6, 1-7 in this draft. So I think that was kind of important to remember, just getting good value. In the third, I got Seth Williams, wide receiver, I believe, out of Auburn. And he's a dude, he's like 6'3", 200 some pounds. Big fan of his. He grades out really well in I look at a lot of the analytics and stuff before I start watching tape or anything, because I like to go in pretty unbiased if I can. And he grades out really well. Like, he's among the top wide receivers for me in this class. And obviously, you know, I think a lot of that is going to change depending on, you know, if he gets that, I think ideally day two draft capital. But I mean, he's athletic, he's big. So I think if he lands,
if you could produce with Bo Nix at Auburn, anywhere you go in the NFL is going to be a better situation than that.
That is very, very true. Exactly. So I'm hoping that, you know, well, I guess exactly what you said. I guess I'm just hoping that he doesn't end up playing for like Mitch Trubisky or something, who obviously isn't even a starting quarterback. But
he's in Buffalo. If he goes to Buffalo, that might not be too bad.
I don't like that either. I want to keep Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis.
That's fair. I think a lot of the Untouchables would not be happy to see Davis backseat to anyone.
Green Bay, maybe Wisconsin.
Ooh, Green Bay.
I'm wearing my Packers hat this morning. We'll take any wide receiver in the first three rounds. Please invest some capital.
As an Eagles fan, you should be more specific. You will not take any wide receiver, because we've taken any wide receiver. And Greg Ward, a former college quarterback, is like our best wide receiver.
Travis Fulgham.
You guys had Travis Fulgham, but so fourth round and fifth round, I took shots on guys that I liked either through my own research or Elijah Mitchell is kind of a guy, another dude in the Undroppables really seems to like, and he grades out pretty well for me, but I think he has a chance to be a contributor in some form or another. And again, you know, this is like a 3-year thing. I figure, okay, of the people left on the board, I thought that he had a decent chance to be able to produce within that 3-year window. And in the fifth round, I did not take Sandro Platzgummer. I took a running back out of Tiffin, Jaquan Hardy. He's kind of my my placeholder. But so Jaquan Hardy is a dude from a, you know, from a small school, and he's actually someone that I interviewed earlier in the offseason. Grades out insanely well for me, but you know, obviously the big factor with him is, you know, small school, less competition, and that's kind of why he goes under the radar for a lot of people in a very similar way that James Robinson did last year. So Jaquan obviously is an awesome guy. I loved interviewing him, but totally from before I got to know him as a person, he's just insanely good at football. Obviously lost this year to COVID. Tiffin didn't play any of their games. But I think that if he even gets day three draft capital, obviously he could go undrafted and still be able to produce, but he's the kind of guy that I think if the NFL sees the talent and he gets the opportunity, he's not going to look back. So to get that guy in the fifth round, it reminds me a lot of what a lot of people were able to get in terms of value from James Robinson last year. So I figure he's a pretty good shot, and he's someone that I'm very happy to root for the next 3 years. So
now, speaking on the Elijah Mitchell pick, right now, it seems the last 2 days, Jamar Jefferson just had his pro day. Elijah Mitchell just had his pro day. It seems like Jamar Jefferson is a guy I was high on. He's falling, and Mitchell is climbing. Mitchell's pro day numbers, again, take it with a grain of salt, because we spoke earlier, you know, it's everybody's running the 4.3s, but he had a 4.39. His three cone drill was 6.94. His 20-yard shuttle was 4.19. He averaged 6 yards per carry last year and had 8 touchdowns. So Elijah Mitchell, Louisiana Lafayette, Raging Cajuns, is a cat to keep your eye on. If you can get him in the fourth round, you know, that's an excellent dart throw. Could be pretty close to a bullseye there if he lands. So I like that pick. And now, Matt, I'm going to bring – oh, actually, I'm sorry, before I cut you off, Michael – what is your favorite value pick? It doesn't have to be value pick. What is your favorite pick on your roster here?
Yeah, it's tough. They're all great picks. You know, whoever drafted this team did a great job. But I mean, obviously part of me wants to go with Jaquan Hardy in the fifth. But honestly, I think it's Ja'Marr Chase at the 1.7. I wasn't really expecting to get him. He's the top wide receiver. And especially over a 3 year period, I mean, I think his upside is a top five wide receiver in Dynasty, let alone this rookie class. So I can't be upset about that. I have to be very happy about that.
And I do think wide receivers, they have lasting power. They last a lot longer than running backs. So in this type of draft, I can understand running backs, because if we're doing a three-year window, that's about, you know, you're going to come in, they're going to light it up, they're going to phase out. So I do get it. But wide receiver, they have more lasting power. They could also step right in and blow it up, especially from what we've seen with fantasy football right now. Wide receivers are falling off trees. They are literally falling off trees. Redraft, if you're like, you could get everything first if you want, because you can wait on wide receivers this year. They are everywhere. There are good wide receivers everywhere. There's only one good one in Green Bay, though. sorry.
Hey, don't sleep on Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Yeah.
But they're everywhere, all right? But anyway, right. I like that pick. Great value there with Ja'Marr Chase at the 7. That was excellent. I ended up getting him in the second rookie rumble we did. I think I picked from like the 6th, and I was able to get him. I was pretty surprised to get him there as well. But anyway, Matt, you picked from the 10th spot, I believe. So why don't you recap your roster? Let us know your train of thought with these picks.
As I mentioned early on, you know, this stage when this mock went live, I haven't really done my rankings or anything, so I felt a little bit like a fish in with a bunch of sharks, to be honest. So I was really tilted that Rondale Moore didn't fall to me. I was hoping he'd drop one more spot. And the same again with Michael Carter. I was sort of sniped there twice. So I can't be unhappy with Devonta Smith. I think that was probably it was either him or Pitts, and probably now if I had to repick it, I would have picked Pitts.
But imagine picked Smith. Picking from the 10th spot and having to settle for the Heisman Trophy winner. Imagine that.
Yeah, I can't complain. But yeah, I wanted more. Brevin Jordan in the second, I thought was a solid pick. Similar to Andrew, I have seen some pretty heavy hate, bit of hater hate going around. I think there was a metric that was done for his athletic testing, and it was really bad. I sort of own Jordan in quite a few devies. So I didn't really look too far into it. I just hung my head a little bit. So I'm hoping that's just, you know, a bit of hate. But like we said earlier, if you're pro day, if you're struggling from your pro day, something's up. So that's a bit of a red flag there.
Shane Hallam on the show next week has had Brevin Jordan above Kyle Pitts for quite some time, like even recently. So you can hang your hat on that because Shane knows this stuff.
Well, it's making me feel better. So it's good for my Brevin shares. I took Trey Sermon in the third. And at the time, I wasn't too sure about that pick, but I did see Matt Mormon's RSP has him as his number one running back. So I guess great minds think alike because he's my number one running back as well in this draft. not in the actual mock, but in this draft. And Herbert and Williams, just to finish off. Again, I hadn't done my ranking, so Herbert and Williams was a bit of a dart throw. I sort of like Williams, but I think he was panned pretty heavily by Matt in that RSP, which, you know, I always like to delve into. So, yeah, that was my mock.
I think Williams has a higher ceiling than Herbert, but Herbert has a high floor. Herbert is a kind of a do-everything guy. I don't know if he does anything excellent, but he does everything well. And he's the type of guy who could fall into some touches just because I think pro coaches might like him because he'll fit right into a pro system. So what was your favorite out of the – you had Devontae Smith, Brevin Jordan, Trey Sermon, Khalil Herbert, and Puka Williams. Who was your favorite pick out of your roster?
It was probably Smith, probably Devontae Smith. I would have been really happy with Moore. But, yeah, probably Smith. In terms of the other boys, you know, Jamar Chase is a bit of a steal. And Michael Carter in a second. I was surprised that he went there. I really wanted him to. So those two picks are probably my favorite two value picks.
I'm glad that we could bring in an Undroppables member, Adam Hutchison, who is a Purdue alum and said, if you think you're going to get Rondale Moore, like, I'm taking him before anyone else.
So, he loves his Rondale.
Yeah, he's in a couple leagues with another guy on our team who also went to Purdue. So they're going to be fighting for Rondale Moore in the first round of rookie drafts. And so, you know, it's nice to have a little snipe here and there. I appreciate that, Matt.
If he likes Rondale Moore, then you can let him know I got a Rondale Moore signed mini helmet up on my Facebook page for Raz. I think it's like $10 a spot, 16 spots.
He'll put money in on that.
Randomize it. We'll have to get him in on that. He can check it out. I'm ready. I'm ready with my college football gear, man. I got a bunch of stuff ready to go in my Facebook group.
I'll have to put some entries in myself so when I win it, I can hold it over their heads.
I'll share it with you.
I'll hold it hostage.
That's mean. That's mean.
I got Pitt. I got Trevor Lawrence. I got Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I got a bunch of stuff, man. I'm hoarding it and I'm ready to go, but I'll share all those links with you guys and everybody listening at home. I'll share the links in the show notes. You can get in there. All right. And I go live from the Facebook group once they fill and I go to random.org. I videotape it all and then I ship it out to the winner. All right. So I guess I'm up. I'm the final one on the episode who actually drafted. And I picked from the four spot. I was hoping Trey Lance fell to me. Again, I have him as my QB2. And I also have him I had him at my QB2 because I also think he's a little lower. I think he's around QB3, QB4 in NFL draft eyes. So I was expecting him to go like probably between like 7 and 15, which in my eyes affects my analysis because I think he goes to a better team. So I'm putting all of this together when I'm analyzing him because I think he's going to be the best fit for a later team, which is a better team, which is going to help his career, right? If that all makes sense. So now there's buzz that he's, you know, might be in the 2 to 3 range. I think Zach Wilson's still the guy to go to. But they're saying, you know, he could go 3 to the 49ers, which is a great situation with Ayuk and Debo Samuel and Kittle. But now there's Mac Jones rumors. So who knows? Whoever goes third is a mystery. But then you got the Falcons waiting right after that, who could be in, you know, if he goes to the Falcons, which I don't necessarily know if they're going to take a quarterback, but that's very intriguing to me as well. So Niners or Falcons is what I was looking at for Lance. But long story short, I didn't get Lance. So I end up with the guy who was going to the Jets and Zach Wilson. I don't know how to get with that. I don't really want to tie my wagon to a Jets quarterback, but my son kind of resembles Zach Wilson, so I can dig it. I just got him the headband, but he plays soccer. He doesn't play football, but nice. He reminds me of Zach Wilson. So I got on the Zach Wilson bandwagon. I picked him for Superflex. I'm okay with that. In the second round, I got Tylan Wallace, who's my guy. I love Tylan Wallace. I love wide receivers. I coach wide receivers, and I just love the way this guy plays the game. He attacks the football. He's got great burst. He's physical after the catch. He's physical before the catch. He plays the game the way you want a wide receiver to play the game. He plays it with passion. He reminds me of another Oklahoma State wide receiver, Dez Bryant, who's another cat who plays the game physical, and I just loved watching him on Sundays. So I think I'm going to have a lot of fun watching Tylan Wallace on Sundays. Got him in the second round. I was hoping to get Elijah Moore in the third round. I didn't get him, but I got Amari Rodgers, who to me is a step behind Elijah Moore. I don't think he's got the elite burst that Elijah Moore has, but he's another cat who's very physical after the catch. He's a solid route runner. I think teams are going to be able to throw him all over the formation. He was catching balls out of the backfield at his pro day. So I think he's going to be in the slot. So he can get open from the slot. I think they're going to give him – he's the type of guy who I think teams are going to try to get the ball to 5 to 7 times a game, because once he gets his hands on it, you can do a lot with it, right? They can give him the ball at 5 yards. They can give him the ball at 20 yards. So I think in the third round, high upside play there. And then Kellen Mond is a wide receiver. Obviously, wide receiver. He's a quarterback from that I really like. Now, I was on Shane Hallam's show, I want to say, like at the end of the summer, and me and Shane were talking about Mond because I loved Mond as a freshman. You know, I think the guy is a winner. I don't know if I wouldn't put him in the top tier of quarterbacks. I wouldn't, but I put him, he's tough and he's a football player. And I like that. And I can get him in the fourth round, but it seems now he might be, he's some people's flavor right now. Some people have him like in the first round. I don't know if I necessarily have him in the first round. I think he's more of a third round guy, but I think he's a guy, he's tough. And I think, you know, as a rookie, he's going to come into a locker room, and I think veterans are going to like that, and they're going to appreciate that. He's athletic. He's got a decent arm. He makes plays. So this is a dart throw for me, getting him in the fourth round. I really like Kellen Mond there. And then Jonathan Adams from Arkansas State, he's a wide receiver I got with the fifth. He's a high-ceiling play. He's just a guy, again, another dart throw. My final two picks were just dart throws. I'm hoping one of them hits, because if my fourth or fifth round pick hit, I'm in good shape, because I really like the chances of somebody in my first three picks hitting. So my favorite pick here is probably, I would say, Tylan Wallace in the second round, because I have him right there with the top wide receiver. You know, I think there's a big tier break after Ja'Marr Chase, right? I think it's Ja'Marr Chase, and then it's everybody else. Yeah, you know, okay. I have him with everybody else. I have him right there with Rondale Moore, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Bateman, you know, Terrace Marshall. You know, I have him right there with all those guys. And I think depending on where he goes, he could be the wide receiver too. It depends on where he ends up. So that's my favorite pick on my roster. So, all right, now I'm going to kind of go through everybody and we'll wrap this thing up after that. And I'm going to let you guys all tell me who your favorite pick was on somebody else's roster. So, Andrew, you started this thing off with a recap in your draft. So why don't you go through these draft picks here and give us your best value pick. It could be the guy who went 1-1 just because you know he's going to be a home run, or it could be the guy who went 5-12, or it could be Sandro Platzgummer.
I mean, he's already in the NFL. He's the only guy that can say.
Yeah, he's the only one with his face on the picture. I think I mentioned it already. I really like the Elijah Moore pick based on, you know, what he's been doing in his pro day. So I think that's a good pick there.
Are you a little jaded? Are we a little jaded towards Ole Miss wide receivers, you think? Like, because they've been killing it? Or, you know, like, is he getting a boost because of that? Or is it purely, film and ability?
I'd say there's a little bit of correlation there. People are getting hyped because he went to Ole Miss, and you've got these other guys that just broke out. But from seeing his pro day metrics, I think that's also adding to the hype. So maybe our expectations
the hair is a big one for me.
Our expectations might come down a bit once the actual NFL draft happens. So we'll see where it goes. But you know, that's where I put a lot of stock and where my, you know, my values on rookies change for dynasty and redraft purposes. Let's see. I mean, obviously, I mentioned my favorite value pick for my team was Tamorian Terry. I'm just reviewing this quick, see if there's anything that sticks out. I don't hate the Brevin Jordan pick. I think maybe the metric, Matt, that popped out was the, I think he posted like a 4.66 40, so maybe people think he's a little slow, but I think people think he's slow, I think people think he's motivated at least. I mean, he's not going to run as fast as a wide receiver, so you can always get faster.
I think he's basically a bowling ball. That's what he reminds me of more than anything.
Okay, you know who does pop out to me here is Trey Sermon at 3.10 on Matt's team. Because before the season, before that shoulder injury from a couple of mocks that the Undroppables had been doing, I'm pretty sure Trey Sermon was someone you could get only in like the late second round. And of course, a lot of these running backs all the way from Jamar Jefferson down to Trey Sermon are probably in the same tier of guys in terms of their potential right out the gate. But I would rather have Sermon than like Ramondre Stevenson for sure. And I thought that Trey Sermon would go before a Kylan Hill. I like Kylan Hill too, but I think that's a good pick to point out as well.
These running backs are dead. Like when the NFL draft happens and you guys are invited, we're going to do a live stream first Thursday of the NFL draft. We're not going to record it. We're just going to be going from our page and we're going to have people coming in and out. We're going to have some fun with these running backs. It's going to be so landing spot dependent, you know, like these running backs more so than wide receiver. It's going to be like cha-ching, like when they land in a spot that is juicy, you know, one of these guys is going to end up on the Rams because that's what the Rams do. And that's going to be a heartbreaker. But wherever else they go.
Oh, my gosh.
He's very
that'd be a big, that'd be a big rip for Cam Akers. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Fredo.
That Trey Sermon pick, I think that's an awesome value pick too, because I've kind of said this before, is the fact that Pittsburgh is looking for a running back in this draft, and they could probably pick him up second day and tell me if he wouldn't be a great fit there.
Phenomenal. And that's like when we're watching the draft, so that won't be day one, but when we're all watching the draft, someone's going to hit the chat. Matt's going to hit the chat if he ends up in Pittsburgh and say, he just cashed in. And that's when you would start trading, but we don't trade in this league. That's when you would say he's available. What you going to give me?
Sandro Platzgummer and a future first.
There we go. Sandro Platzgummer is available. He's the first guy on the trade block. Michael, let me hear what your favorite pick on these other rosters is.
Yeah, so I want to give a shout out to Tommy. So he was drafting from the one spot, and I love his fourth round pick, Jarrett Patterson.
Can you tell everybody at home if they're listening all of his picks, and then get in on Jarrett Patterson, please?
All right, cool. So Tommy drafted from the one spot. He took Trevor Lawrence at the 1-1, Rashad Bateman at the 2-1, Kylan Hill in the third, Jarrett Patterson in the fourth, and Demetric Felton, I believe I said that right, in the fifth.
What a one pick's kind of chalk, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. So Jarrett Patterson is a dude that I love. I mean, he grades out just insanely well from a college production standpoint. And there's definitely questions about his receiving ability. But he reminds me a lot of Devin Singletary in certain ways, in that he grades out really well production-wise, but I think draft capital is kind of going to be a hindrance for him. But, I mean, kind of like we're saying, with the exception of those top running backs, I mean, I think there's a huge drop-off, and a lot of it is just going to depend on landing spot and draft capital. And I think Jarrett Patterson is the kind of dude that could really vault himself pretty far up in, I mean, he's already pretty high in my rankings, but in a lot of people's rankings, if he gets a decent landing spot or decent draft capital, because I think he's the type of dude that in the NFL, he could probably handle a pretty big workload from a running standpoint, even if he's not necessarily getting that receiving work, which I do think he's a fine receiver. I think it was just, you know, the opportunity and how their offense worked wasn't really inclusive to him having a large receiving role. But I love him. I just think that's incredible value in the fourth round. He was actually someone I was hoping would fall to me in the fourth round, and he didn't. So big shout out to Tommy. That's one of my favorite picks. Tylan Wallace for you, Sheps, in the second round. He was a guy that I really like too. I have him in a very similar tier to Rondell Moore, Rashad, kind of that second tier of wide receivers. So I'm a big fan of that pick. And, you know, Sandra Platzgummer, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Kids
say it. Hey, Coach, is Joshua backstage right now? I saw you posted in a private chat.
I can't see because let me see. Backstage. I don't see him back. Oh, he is.
Let's get him in here. Let's go.
There he is.
Hey. Hey
man, sorry, I didn't see you. I had I'm sharing the screen here. Joshua's here. Fusion FFB's in the house. How are we doing, my guy?
Right now, for some reason.
Can you hear us?
Oh, no. I don't know if he can hear us.
All right, Matt. While he gets all this sorted out, why don't you tell us your favorite value pick in this draft here?
I got it.
I think probably Chase at the 107. I think that's, like, a great value. Even in the super flex, you could easily go, you know, 102. Especially in this format, you don't know where those quarterbacks are going to land, if they're going to sit behind someone apart from Lawrence, and then who knows what the Jags do if they sit in for half a season. So, yeah, probably Chase. And I think it's no coincidence that the sexiest team is probably Justin's team. I think, you know, Kadarius Toney, Eskridge, Gamble, they're all pretty sexy names, and I think there's no coincidence Justin's drafted them.
That's his brand. Justin. That's his brand. You know, sexy is Justin's brand.
Do you guys want to talk about Gainwell quick? Because I saw Joseph on YouTube had asked a while back thoughts on Gainwell.
I'll hop in. I just finished watching his tape the other day. I don't really get it, I think. And maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I think he's a good receiving back. But I don't know if he is one really big enough or strong enough to handle the wear and tear of like a large workload in the NFL. And even the fact that he's, you know, I think he's a good receiving back. I don't know if he's necessarily great. You know, that could very well change depending on draft capital and landing spot. But he's a guy that I'm not nearly as high on as a lot of people, and I feel like I'll probably end up fading.
I think that's a good point, Michael, just because, and I'll keep this short, then we can pass it back to Coach. A lot of these running backs, like, especially if they are just excel in like the passing game, his ceiling could be like Nyheim Hines or JD McKissick. Yep. And that's fine for NFL purposes, but that's not who we're targeting to be, you know, a bell cow piece to add to our dynasty rosters.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, again, you know, if it was a later round, not even later round, but like, you know, late second, early third, I think I'd probably like him a lot more. But where he's going at the end of the first, top of the second, I just think there's, you know, some of the wide receivers that went after him, and Rashad Bateman, Jalen Waddle, Terrace Marshall, Tylan Wallace, like, I would take every single one of them over Kenneth Gainwell. So
Justin loves Antonio Gibson. So I think he's trying to strike, you know, from the same well, you know, twice there.
Yes, that's the narrative with him, is he's the one who started above Antonio Gibson and limited Gibson's touches. So if Gibson's so good, like, imagine what Gainwell could do in the league.
And then kind of similar to what we were saying with Ole Miss earlier, with wide receivers coming out of Ole Miss and that affecting how we value them right now. You know, Pollard, Gibson, you know, now Gainwell. I think people are starting to think Memphis is a running back factory.
That's where Daryl Henderson came from too, right?
Another Ram. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not too bullish on Daryl Henderson right now, but.
Well, I was on Kenneth Gainwell. You know, he's going to a team. If he goes to a team where you have that 1A and 1B running back in situations and stuff, he could be a good 1B running back. and when given that opportunity and stuff to step in with more of a role and everything would, I think, would fit in well. But he's kind of that 1B running back if you got that running back committee situation.
For some reason, I see him in Atlanta. That's my prediction for Kenneth Gainwell. I could see him ending up there and kind of being a guy on turf who could showcase his stuff as a B, as a 1B. Joshua, you are here. All right. You stepped in a little late. Why don't you recap your draft, right? Because we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. So I want you to recap your draft. Let me know your favorite value pick in your draft. And then let me know what your favorite value pick and everybody else's. Like, besides your picks here, what was your favorite pick elsewhere?
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, I jumped in a little bit late. I'll just really quick here. If everyone can hear me okay.
We hear you loud and clear.
All right. Yeah, thanks, first of all, Undroppables, all you guys for jumping in, accepting this challenge to rumble in the Twitter streets. So I'm not sure. I think we ended up the Jets, and I think you guys are the Sharks. But that's okay.
It's fine
if anyone
with me.
Gets that reference, I don't know why you're on YouTube streaming right now. But all right.
Well,
so,
darn.
All right, or you had as interesting parents as I did. So I don't even like my team. Do I have to talk about my team?
Yes, you got to talk it up, my guy.
Etienne, I think he was a value, decent pick there. And yeah, I'll admit, we were talking. I heard you guys talking earlier. I've been kind of listening in about, you know, are we just going for points next year and so on? And I think for the most part, everyone kind of got the idea that, yeah, we can do that, but we also are going to keep looking at this thing. I think it'll be fun to look at this thing in like 2-3 years and really see who really actually won, because we always say that, oh, well, you have to evaluate it in 2-3 years when everyone wants to start playing, you know, win, lose next year. And then, but no one really goes back and tracks that. So I thought it would be fun to have something concrete here for us to actually go back and look at. And Etienne, look, I'm not a Ronald Jones fan. I never have been. Very early on, I identified that I didn't like what he had to offer. But when I'm told that Travis Etienne is like Ronald Jones, but he can actually catch. okay. Now I might be kind of interested, because that was my problem with Ronald Jones. And credit to Ronald Jones, he's completely remade himself in like to a completely different style running back than what he was advertised coming out. So I don't know if Etienne can even win as what he's advertised, but he has the upside. So that's what I went for. And he's probably going to get some draft capital and therefore a chance at points. So honestly, that's all I was going for. My favorite pick is the next one, Diami Brown. And I think he is, I have a higher as far as the number of wide receiver that it was taken. But after that, Javon Hawkins just kind of shot in the dark. A lot of big plays from him, but he's kind of a weird size. He wasn't as involved in receiving as he should have been for his size, and yet he's one of these in-betweeners kind of thing, right? 5'9". So I just figured I'd take a shot on him for some explosive plays, maybe gets involved in special teams. Anthony Schwartz, he is one of these super fast guys, and so he's definitely an upside there. And that Shane Carter
sleeper.
Is not...
That's, if I had a stamp for sleeper pick, that's where I'd put the stamp. So if like Sandro Platzkummer, if his face was the sleeper stamp, I would take it and I'd put it right on Anthony Schwartz.
And well, another one is could
how be dare you disrespect one. Platzkummer?
Which is actually your guy. I shouldn't get credit for him on my team, because you were asking about this guy and he's not in the sleeper. I ended up, if you saw this on Twitter, you're probably wondering, wait, that's not what that said. That's because I did a little bit of Photoshopping and fixed those picks. And this is actually Jalen Darden. I went with Carden because it rhymed with Darden, so I wouldn't forget. So it's actually Jalen Darden. And it was because Coach here was talking him up all the way back at his picks. And so I grabbed him for him basically just to make sure he was on our team collectively. And so I have him there. So if he works out, I might have to trade him. If he ends up getting into the sleeper system, we might have to do a trade to get him back on your team.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So like I said, Diami Brown, I am pretty happy about that one. At that point it was between him or Amon-Ra, I guess, but I do think Diami Brown has a little bit better shot at big plays, just being an outside down the line kind of receiver.
All right. So besides your draft,
Yeah.
What was your favorite pick elsewhere?
I'm going to say two because the first one is obvious. It's Mac Jones. I was kind of hoping Justin was on the end there. Justin was on the end there at 12 talking about, I didn't know what he was doing. I almost wanted to be like, just take Mac Jones. Like, we should probably take the quarterback. But I didn't say anything. And then it went past Ben there. He took Waddle instead. So that, I think that's a great pick. But it's pretty much an obvious one because it's the quarterback. So I was going to give a different one. And I think it's at more and more I'm liking the Chuba Hubbard. And I was a little mad that he went right before me. Andrew, credit to you. I think you actually had one of the best teams when it all came out. I know we put out some tweets, and I just tried to be objective about it. And I went off of how many comments, you know, replies, who was mentioned, and team three, five. I'm sorry, Andrew, not to take it away from you. Not your team.
Well, I was fortunate enough to make it into the poll of like those four teams, and then the poll, which had Dan's team or AWL Sabermetrics, like he ran away with the poll in terms of the results.
Yeah, I think the
yeah. Shout out to Dan for falling face first into Mac Jones in the second round. Good job, Dan.
In the third pick, yeah, AWL
Sabermetrics. Yeah, no, sorry, I meant Duncan. Team seven there with Chase and Chuba. I think those two alone are, for where you are, at least in the draft, are great values. Chuba, I think, is slowly kind of being my sleeper. For a while, there was Jamar, but there's not a lot of special, actually, running backs here in this entire class. And I think we can sometimes get caught up by perspective. And, you know, it's the prettiest one there, but it's not actually that good. So that's Najee. You know, he's the best-looking one, but after that, it's actually when you start comping them to other classes, even just recently, they're really not that great. And but Chuba has that potential with his speed and the size. I know he's lean, he's a little slight, but if he puts on a little bit of muscle and that speed, and NFL is just playing a little different these days, I think he actually is the highest upside running back that you can still get at any kind of value.
So I'm going to finish this thing off with my value picks. My three favorite.
Thanks for coming on, Josh.
Oh, man, we appreciate it.
See you, Josh.
My three favorite picks are all from the Undroppables. I don't know if they're necessarily my favorite picks, but my value picks, right? Kyle Pitts at 11. Like, come on. He's being discussed as the second best prospect in this class. Like, by people I respect. Like, Dane Brugler has Pitts in the same category as he had Quentin Nelson coming out of Notre Dame. Like, Nelson, this can't, like Nelson was, the words around him were, he's a guard. You can't take him top five. But it's like, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, and you know, like, these aren't guys who just say that. Like, there's people who say this garbage and nonsense yearly because it sells. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about people who don't give people grades like that. And then it went from Nelson being, you can't take him top five because he's a guard, to take him because he's a home run. Yeah. And I'm hearing Pitts discussed in the same breath. Like, he's behind Trevor Lawrence. He's that dude. I am nervous. I am extremely gun shy because the way tight ends develop, like Eric Ebron, woof. You know what I mean? Like Ingram, he wasn't taken as high, but still, like, you know, big time tight ends scare me. But Kyle Pitts at 11, give me that all day. Kylan Hill at 3-1, dart throw. He led the SEC in rushing 2 years ago. You know, one of the best defensive conferences in the nation. In the third round, give me that. And then Elijah Mitchell. Michael, I said this earlier, getting him in the fourth, he just blew it up at the pro day. And everybody's blowing it up at the pro day. But comparatively speaking to everybody else, his numbers are phenomenal. Again, he averaged 6 yards a carry. He had 8 touchdowns. He looks the part. And you got him in the fourth. He could be the steal of the draft, depending on where he goes, where teams have him. I think if we drafted again in a week or two, once all these pro day numbers are out there, I think Elijah Mitchell is going to move himself up to the early third, late second. I think by the time, even before the NFL draft, his ADP is going to rise. I expect that because now he's got numbers out there and people are going to start watching his film who haven't. And he's a good running back, man. He's a good running back. So those are my three favorite value picks. Rich, why don't you tell me? I went with three, not with just one, so I can do that. Rich, before we wrap this thing up, what was your favorite value pick in this draft? I know you didn't mock here, but you're here. You're looking at this whole thing. What was your favorite value pick?
I just touched on it a few minutes ago, that Trey Sermon pick. I think it depends on if he lands on a team that is looking for a starting running back. He has a great opportunity to produce that on a third-round pick. Overall, as far as team, I love the Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Elijah Moore. If this was done, say, this week, this draft, would Mac Jones be in the first round? Obviously, probably, yeah, and stuff. So I love Trey Lance and Mac Jones, especially in a super flex draft. I mean, there's two studs right there that in 3 years, when you guys are looking back at it, you're going to say, well, there's two starting quarterbacks that are producing. And then, like I said, that Elijah Moore pick on that same team. Great receiver.
All right. So that I'm going to stop screen sharing here, if I can do that. We are all back. The gang's all here. Everybody, this was a blast. I really appreciate you guys coming. Oh, Justin's in the chat. Great job. Thanks again to Joshua from and the Undroppables. So awesome. Justin, thanks for bringing the sexy, man, because that's your brand. he does.
Sexy back.
Incredible.
He does, big sexy. All right, man, so episode 49, you're one away from the big 50. This was a blast. This was the Rookie Rumble number one. Do you guys have anything you want to plug before we let you guys go? Andrew, Michael, you know, it's been a blast having you guys on. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Yeah, appreciate you having us, Coach, and Matt and Rich. Anything to plug, I would just say theundroppables.com first and foremost. We've been adding a lot of content to our YouTube channel as well, so just The Undroppables on YouTube. So if you can give us a subscribe over there, we'd appreciate it. And those are the big two things, so I'll leave it to that because we could probably plug a million things, but those are my priorities anyway.
Michael, you got anything to plug, anything you want to bring up before we let you loose?
No, I mean, Andrew covered it. Just, you know, thanks for having us, guys. Thanks for inviting the Undroppables to join. It was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to following the career of Sandro Platzgummer going forward. Well, so
thanks for accepting the call and answering the call and joining us for this Rookie Rumble. Again, you can follow these guys. Andrew is at Andrew Mackens, MACKENS. Michael's at MPDuncan75. Give these guys a follow. Go follow the Undroppables. And then with me again, I got my dude Rich at R Gonzalez RM, Matt at MATCHHOO, and I am at Coach Sheps. Follow the show on Twitter at Toilets to Titles. And draft season, y'all, we're going to have Shane Hallam on next week to discuss his final mock draft. We got Matt Waldman coming on the week after. We're going to be doing a live stream the first night of the NFL draft. So things are going to be lit. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy this episode, and we will catch you all later on.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.